Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that?
Before we get to Jason Wilde, I want to tell you about our friends over at Carbon World Health. You've heard Jim Rutledge talk about them for years, but they now have their brand new state-of-the-art facility in Sun Prairie in the Prairie Lake Shopping Center. You can get all their innovative services, including Botox, Hydrofacials, M-Sculpt, IV therapies, and so much more. Stop in today to get started on your health and beauty journey. We are now joined by Jason Wilde. You can hear him weekdays 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, I want to jump right in to yesterday's game. Were you surprised at all with how that game ended up going for the Green Bay Packers?
No, I was not. But to quote the great Luke Fickle, what does it matter if I was surprised or not? Sorry.
Does play calling matter, Jason?
Jesus.
We can talk about that, too.
Goodness.
No, I feel like it does. I feel like it did yesterday.
All you have to do is look at the Chicago Bears firing their coordinator, and a different play caller comes in there and makes some changes, and they look competent again. But anyways, back to your answer.
Yeah, the quarterback gets the ball out of his hand and doesn't get sacked 9 times, although he did almost got sacked 9 times on the final 3 plays.
Before. Right. Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was going to be tough. I did. I'm not Nostradamus by any means, but I felt like they would get a bump from changing coordinators. I thought that they would do a better job of protecting or at least getting the ball out of Caleb Williams' hands, which is also what occurred. And in the end, you know, Carl Brooks' left middle finger was just long enough to prevent the Bears from kicking a game-winning field goal. So, you know, I think we saw it on Saturday night too, right? I mean,
yeah.
The Badgers were undermanned. They're not as good as Oregon, and yet, you know, if you're at home, you're playing with some juice, you have a few things go your way, you make a few plays. Now, obviously, the Badgers didn't make enough of them. And the one time they did, there was the penalty for the chop block, which was not ideal. But the bottom line is that, you know, these guys get paid too. And I guess I can say that about college football.
Yeah.
But I thought I liked what I saw from the Bears. You know, I don't think that regime is going to last by any means, but I thought it was the kind of game that I was expecting. It's very rare for a game to have so few possessions, and that was a credit to the Bears. I mean, they won the time of possession like 37-23 or something like that. The Packers couldn't get off the grass on third or fourth down. So they outplayed the Packers for most of the day. And unfortunately, you know, the last kick was obviously what it turned out to be for them, and great news for the Packers.
So Jason, the fourth and
is it wrong that every time I hear your voice now on the show, I'm pleasantly surprised?
Same, Jason. I was shocked. He's physically next to me too, Jason. My mind is blown.
Oh my God, are you lost? I made a left wrong turn at Albuquerque. I was going to Canada. I ended up at the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios.
Honestly, I was surprised my badge worked to get in the door, to be honest. I thought they just were like, you know what? This guy's done. But here we are.
Sure,
made it.
Do the show from Metcalf's Market. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So the fourth and sixth call, maybe a little bit questionable. And then what stuck out to me and some of and Jim and Molly as well, how Matt LaFleur went absolutely nuts on the two-point conversion timeout, and then spent that timeout chewing out his coaches. You got any insight on that?
Has Jim Rutledge ever done that to you?
Probably not enough.
Headset, like in a commercial
so,
break?
I haven't, but Jason, I was at the game, and we're on the Packers sideline, so I was. It looks even more intense in person. I had not really been like that
Wait,
close.
Were,
Yeah,
you were on the sideline.
No, I wasn't on the sideline. Packers sideline, like their side. Sorry, that was on the Packers side. Oh. We were like 10 rows up, and like right.
Was he yelling at you too?
Yeah, no. 10 yards up from the Packers sideline, and or 10 rows up from the Packers sideline, and it was like you could hear him. And like, because initially I'm watching to see what the Bears are going to do, and then all of a sudden, like my
you're
eyes drop.
Colorful language.
My eyes drop. Oh god! And like, honestly, it was looked more intense. And I've seen coaches light someone up. It looks so much more intense when you're that close to it. It was uncomfortable. But So Matt asked it, but it was intense.
Yeah, he was obviously intense at a couple of different turns. I noticed that, and it was funny because if you watch on TV, he walks by Derek Ansley, the defensive passing game coordinator. He walks by. Anthony Campanelli, whatever. and they don't even look at him. Like, he's screaming into the headset. They have their headsets on, so they know they can hear him yelling. And they don't even make eye contact with him, which I don't blame them for at all. But look, there was plenty of blame to go around yesterday for that game playing out the way it did, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Obviously, their red zone, they were 3 of 5, which is an improvement over what they had been coming into the game. They had been 47% on touchdowns. They were 60% yesterday. But all the same stuff that's an issue for them in the red zone happened again, right? Penalties, negative plays, makes it really difficult. Turnover, those are the three things you're trying to avoid, and they had all three of them occur. So, you know, there was that. There was, you know, obviously the defense not being able to get off the field on third down is really bad. The stat, I don't know if you guys saw this stat, but they were 9 of 16 on third down conversions. And on 3 of the 7 that they failed to convert, they picked it up on fourth down. So now you're up to 12 for 16. In the three games heading into Sunday that the Bears had lost in a row, the Bears had converted 6 out of 40 third down situations. So they were converting at a 15% clip. And essentially, for all intents and purposes, they converted at a 75% clip yesterday. So you put that all together, and the head coach is going to be ticked off. He was mad at Bill Vinovich for the penalty that they called on Xavier McKinney over on the Bears sideline for the late hit on Caleb Williams. So he was not in a great mood, but somehow they found a way to win, which, you know, it's something, and I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way towards Jim, but it's something that the Bears do the opposite. They always seem to find a way to lose.
Without a doubt, and that's to your point, I think Eberflus, even though Matt LaFleur, and I was listening to the podcast too, even though Matt LaFleur didn't have his best coaching game, I don't think, he still outcoached Eberflus. Eberflus kind of chickened out after the Bears got within field goal range. They let the clock run. They just handed it off and kind of like, we're going to attempt this long field goal with the kick. So, like, I don't take it as anything but factual. Honestly, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's better they lost, but if they win, I could see the McCaskey family being like, hey, beat the Packers. Maybe we should keep them around another year. So I need Eberflus gone. So, like, that's when you root for a dysfunctional franchise. You need things to be black and white. So, honestly, the game almost went perfect. I mean, Caleb, a touchdown pass would have been nice, but otherwise great. But the Bears had gone 25 consecutive drives without scoring a touchdown. They scored 2 against the Packers. Obviously, it's just win, baby, in the NFL. But if the Packers had lost, or even if they won, like what's the thought carrying? They did win, obviously, but what's the thought carrying forward? Because you listen to other, like, they're a team that, I don't know. I mean, they're not playing their best ball. It's getting later in the year. Jordan Love is still throwing weird interceptions. They don't look like an elite defense or an elite offense. Like, do you think this is going to click at some point? Because San Francisco and Miami at Lambeau are not gimmies. Miami, they're better than their record looks like, because they might be 500 coming to town. They face New England. They got Tua back. Like, this Packers team's hard to figure out. Like, where do you think they fall as far as close to playing their best ball right now?
Yeah, they're definitely not playing their best ball. Now, you know, I think their defense had played better, obviously, than they did on Sunday. It was almost as if, you know, first of all, I think Jeff Hafley's a sharp guy, so I'm not suggesting that he was dumb here. I'm sure that when you look at a Bears offense that allowed their quarterback to be sacked 9 times in the previous week, that you're going to expect them to get the ball out of his hand quickly. And that's exactly what they did. It did not appear that they were ready, though, and expecting them to run Caleb Williams more, whether it was hey, if the first progression isn't there on this play, I want you to take off, or if it's a designed run. You know, it didn't look like they were ready for that, certainly. And then, obviously, that third down stuff that we talked about, that's just not okay. And again, the pass rush is still, like, you know, they use this excuse about how, well, they were playing mobile quarterbacks early in the year. That's why they didn't have sack numbers. You know, they had their chance yesterday, and, you know, we talked about it, I know, on this show going in, about like, this was an opportunity for the Packers' anemic pass rush to be productive. And, frankly, until that final drive, the pass rush was terrible. And that was when, obviously, Caleb held on to the ball a little bit longer. You know, Brenton Cox had the one play earlier in the game, but that was basically it. And then, you know, they actually should have three straight sacks, but Kingsley Anagbare isn't able to get Caleb Williams to the ground on 3rd and 19. And they, you know, pick up a big chunk, and then they pick up the fourth down. So, you know, the defense is definitely did not play it at its optimal level, even though they got some of their guys back and then had, you know, Jair back for 10 plays or whatever it was. Offensively, I thought that was the most encouraging thing, was that, A, they got Christian Watson involved, which had not happened frequently enough, but B, and most importantly, Jordan Love looked like Jordan Love again, right? Like, he looked healthy, he stepped into his throws, he took off running and wasn't afraid of contact at the pylon. He made way better decisions. I mean, he threw another interception, but that was the right decision. He just sailed the ball. So,
do you think
I'm a Packers fan, that's how I feel.
Separately, do you think, because, like, again, it was one of those throws when the ball went in the air and it was on the sideline that I was on, like, I'm like, sweet, they're going to get an interception. The first throw to Christian Watson, the deep one into double coverage, was that a good decision, or is that just one
No.
of the ones you, okay, I was just curious if what your thought on that one, because for me, I was like, oh, yes, like, this is, there's two Bears right there. Like, it's not like they caught up to him, like, they're on Christian Watson. So, like, I was excited when that ball left his hand.
Yeah, I'm sure they were too. And, you know, Christian Watson made a play, and look, he deserves the credit for that.
Yep.
Jordan Love trusted him, gave him the opportunity, but if we're grading it on a black and white grading scale like Tom Clements does, it's a minus decision, because he had Tucker Kraft open shorter, and it would have still been a big play. So, you know, not ideal, but it obviously worked out, so the result justifies the means. But, look, their offense, you know, I think it needs to run through Josh Jacobs. It did. I think they need, you know, Jordan Love to make good decisions. He did. I think they needed to get Christian Watson involved. They did. So all those things happened, and that, I would think, is really encouraging if you're a Packers fan.
Matt, you have a fun fact around Christian Watson?
Yeah, Jason, the flight attendant on my flight from San Diego to Detroit, she was Christian Watson's, or not was, still is. She's Christian Watson's aunt. And
was.
So, and the reason she brought it up is one of the people I was traveling with had a Christian Watson jersey on, and yeah, then I ended up standing up, and I went back all the way back to the cattle class to talk to my wife where she was sitting. I offered her a better seat, and she didn't want it because it was a middle seat.
What?
But when I was chatting with her, she's like, "Are you the other Packer fan?" And I'm wearing a Packer shirt. I'm like, "Yep." She's like, "You know what? Christian Watson is my nephew." And I was like, "Oh, how about that? That's pretty awesome." So,
did you verify it somehow?
I mean,
she got injured on the flight, so then he was able to know for sure.
Yeah, I can tell. It's genetic.
Pulled a hamstring going down the aisle.
Yeah, yeah, the hamstrings didn't look the same size.
How did Jen feel about you checking out her hamstrings?
Well, she didn't know because she was sitting way in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Jen was like 25 rows behind me.
Matt comes to the back. Jen, did you see the hamstrings on
that? Christian Watson's aunt?
Flight attendant?
I guess, Jason, would you rather take an aisle seat in normal, or would you take a middle seat in, like, the comfort plus? Not first class, but like that middle, slightly more legumes.
If I'm sitting next to my husband?
No, you don't get the option. It's you're either sitting in between two strangers, or you're on an aisle next to a stranger. The flight was full.
So
we weren't able to move seats.
So you were
around.
In first class?
No. I was that one okay. Section back.
The middle
you're
class.
In comfort.
Yeah,
comfort plus. Yeah.
So did you sit in a middle seat?
I did. And I offered it to her, and she didn't want it. She said she'd rather have the aisle. And I was like, that's crazy.
So there was a middle seat available next to her, though. You could have
No, there wasn't. No, it was a full flight. She had to pick either or.
Right, but what I'm saying is, so there was somebody sitting next to your wife.
Mm-hmm. With the kid, so I couldn't ask them to move and offer them the middle seat in the front.
Oh, pesky, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
There was like a mother and a child, so I wasn't asking them to split up.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All right, so tough decision, tough situation. You just defer to her. Whatever she chooses is the seat she takes. And if she took the aisle seat, I think that's the choice I would have made as well, although I don't. It's been so long. I have not been on an airplane since flying home from San Francisco after they lost the NFC Championship game in LaFleur's first season.
Wow.
So think about how long ago that is.
It's a really long time ago.
Paul and the girls have gone, and it's especially long for someone who, for the first 21 years of covering the team, flew everywhere. Like, I covered every home and road game, preseason, regular season, playoffs, went to the NFL meetings, went to the scouting combine. I once flew to Minneapolis from Madison because I was on the precipice of gold status on Northwest Airlines, and I flew to Minneapolis. I got off the plane. I walked to the Minneapolis to Madison flight and got on that and flew home, so I had the qualifications for like $200 to be gold for the
mileage run. Gotta love a good mileage run.
And now I don't like this whole economy, and then whatever you were in, comfort class.
Yeah,
and is there then business class, and then there's first class?
That's like overseas flights. Normally, it's just first, comfort plus, and then cattle class, as I like to call it.
Can you not?
Yeah, like when I was traveling,
that's
I
where
had
all
so
of
many,
the rest of us fly.
Yeah.
Right, and I had qualified for so many miles that I would always get bumped, and then they merged with Delta, and then I never got bumped up to first class. And I always felt uncomfortable in first class because I always felt like,
imposter.
You know, who's this douchey guy that's sitting up there? He doesn't belong there. He's not. Who is this guy?
Matt loves it.
But I'm glad. And I'm sure. Oh, I don't doubt that for a second.
Matt goes, look at this douchey
no,
guy.
No, just mean mugs, kids that have seats up there. I'm like, you don't need that seat, you punk kid. Sit next to your parent.
Jason.
One of one.
I know we got to let you get out, so thanks for hopping on and exposing
Matt. All right,
guys.
What I'm here for.
Thanks,
Take
Jason.
Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. You can listen back Wisconsin on Demand, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. Don't quote me in review. Next.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Kevin Bozeman. And when I'm in town, I'm making sure I'm always listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN. Even when I'm on air, I still listen to myself because that's how great that show is.